Intelligent Medicine is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and healthy eaters get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/Hoffman to support the show and see if you qualify.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's my great pleasure to be here this weekend, as I am each weekend, to share vital health information with you. Certainly an opportunity to review some of the most important stories of the week, plus get a little bit of an idea of what's on your mind. You have some health concerns, you have some questions about vitamins, minerals, supplements, you can call us. 877-726-8255 is our number, and that's 877-726-TALK. And we got lots of stuff to cover today. A big football day. We're going to talk a little bit about IVs, intravenous hydration by athletes, especially in the NFL, and does it do any good? Some interesting research on that subject. 877-726-8255. And we'll be taking your phone calls momentarily. But before we do so, I want to share with you a very, very important study. It's a landmark study in a very, very respectable medical journal called Cell. And it suggests that a standard American diet has the tendency to set your immune system on edge. The headline for the story is, study shows that even after a change to a healthy diet, the body's defenses remain hyperactive. And the research performed at the University of Bonn in Germany, unhealthy food seems to kindle the body's defensive and make them more aggressive in the long term. Now, you might think, well, that's good. Well, you know, have good defenses. That's a good thing. But no, it actually sort of sets your immune system on edge. And even after switching to a healthy diet, inflammation is more pronounced. And at the slightest instigation, your immune system may start yapping like a pack of wild dogs. These long-term changes may be involved in the development of arteriosclerosis and diabetes and autoimmunity, diseases that are linked to the Western diet. Here's how they ascertained this. The research was done in rodents. The rodents were given what would be equivalent to a Western diet for a few weeks. When the researchers offered the rodents their typical cereal diet for another 4 weeks, the acute inflammation disappeared. You see, this was a pro-inflammatory diet. But what didn't disappear was the memory of the immune cells. They were genetically reprogrammed to be in kind of an alarm state so that the immune system can respond more quickly to a new attack. And this is a concern because these inflammatory responses can accelerate the development of vascular diseases. When the immune system attacks, it may attack the inside lining of the arteries. It may also cause type 2 diabetes. It may also lead to instance of neurodegenerative diseases. We know now that Alzheimer's disease is a inflammatory disorder. And the concern is that, you know, we've noticed that over the centuries, the average life expectancy has steadily increased in Western countries. But an alarming new trend has developed. It's for the first time in modern history, individuals born today will live on average shorter lives than their parents. And clearly, sedentary lifestyle and unhealthy diets, the Western diet pattern, play a decisive role in this, not to mention the use of opiates, self-destructive behaviors, drugs, alcohol, smoking, and so on. So the lead researcher on the study says these findings have important societal relevance. The foundations of a healthy diet need to become a much more prominent part of education than they are at present. Only in this way can we immunize children at an early stage against the temptations of the food industry. Children have a choice of what they eat every day, and we should enable them to make conscious decisions regarding their dietary habits, because children are particularly vulnerable to this phenomenon. If they eat junk food, their immune systems are perpetually reprogrammed to become hyper-reactive, and that is a long-term concern that may ultimately affect their adult health and their longevity. All right, 877-726-8255 is our number. We got a call from Maddie in Plainview. That's in New Jersey?
Long Island.
Oh, Plainview, Long Island. Okay, you're out there in Nassau County. Got it.
The last town before Suffolk County.
Okay. So what's going on?
Anyway,
Maddie?
I thought I had a UTI, urinary tract infection, and right before Christmas, and I went to one of these, I had like a lot of urgency going to the bathroom every half hour. So I went, panicked, I went to one of these walk-in clinics.
Doc in the Box.
And she, yeah. Right. And she said, I did a urine sample, and she said, she came in, she said, you have a UTI, and I'll send this out to the lab.
Okay.
You know, to be cultured.
Yeah.
So
the reason for that, let me explain what's going on. You know, there's a couple of ways to determine if you have a urinary tract infection. First of all, you have urinary urgency, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a urinary tract infection. I mean, many women are attuned to the signs of an impending urinary tract infection. You can do what's called a urinalysis, which is a spot test. It quickly reveals whether there's blood or white blood cells, or something called leukocyte esterase, which is a sign of infection. Basically, it indicates the presence of pus in the urine. And then a decision is made, okay, you have a urinary tract infection. Then they send another part of the sample, what's called the culture and sensitivity, to a lab, and that may take a few days to come back. And that will tell you, how many bacteria you have, what type you have, and, most importantly, to which bacteria you are most like, or to which antibiotics you're most likely to respond, because the sensitivity means, is the bacteria in your urine sensitive to many antibiotics? There's so much antibiotic resistance that sometimes the first choice by the doctor in the ER, or in your primary care doctor's office, or in the urgent care, their first choice, you may be using an antibiotic to which the bacteria are resistant. So anyway, keep going, Maddie.
So she put me on Cipro. I said, please don't put me on that.
That's
horrible.
That's a horror, that drug. Yeah, yeah.
So I reluctantly took it for a couple of days, and then I was very leery, and I started getting Achilles pains in
both
legs.
Yes, that's so precisely what it can actually cause, Achilles heel rupture. That's precisely what these are fluoroquinolones. This type of antibiotic, Levaquin, Cipro, and a couple of others belong to this category of antibiotics. They're often given at the drop of the hat for, say, men where they suspect prostatitis, or women with a urinary tract infection, skin conditions. And it's a big gun, and it really should be reserved for, as a last resort when other antibiotics don't work.
So I called and I got a hold of the doctor. She looked up on the computer and she said, oh, you don't have an infection.
Oh, great.
The cultures came out all negative.
Oh, my goodness. So you took it for nothing, and you had a side effect. Yeah.
So I still continue to have minor symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
The Achilles went away because I took a lot of supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard your podcast on how to get, the symptoms of urinary tract, and I started taking transfer factor and calcium citrate and, the other things you recommended.
So what you have is like bladder irritation. And bladder irritation is sometimes due to food intolerance. I mean, commonly food irritants to the bladder are alcohol, caffeine, specifically coffee, even decaf can cause it. spicy foods, and then, you know, it could be anything. For some people, they develop an intolerance to a specific food. In children who have bedwetting, it might be dairy. That's a frequent cause of urinary frequency in kids. But sometimes you have to do an elimination diet. Sometimes a low oxalate diet helps this. It certainly helps some patients who suffer from interstitial cystitis. And in low oxalate diets, you can find the, you know, list of those on the internet. Oxalate specifically is an irritant. And, you know, it's not that calcium citrate is a potential blocker for that. It can help the bladder. Other things that can help the bladder, I'm going to keep going. N-acetyl glucosamine is a bladder, is something that soothes the bladder. People think D-mannose might help in this instance, but when it's not an infection, D-mannose is less likely to help. There's other things that have a pH effect on the bladder. There's something called azo something or other. That's an over-the-counter thing that basically turns the urine more alkaline and reduces symptoms of urinary urgency. That's just something you can buy over-the-counter, and that may help. I mean, you got about maybe a 30% chance of improving with that. It's not a fail-safe, but it can improve things. So, give those things a try. Maybe, you know, also eliminate your supplement program for a time, because maybe high doses of vitamin C or something else among the supplements you're taking, that could be bladder irritants. One other thing that's helpful, MSM. MSM is also something that's generally soothing for the bladder. So there you have it. I think, look, folks, this is a cautionary tale. You know, you go to the doc in the box. They give you a powerful antibiotic unnecessarily. It creates side effects. You're lucky not to have suffered a ruptured Achilles tendon, which is one of the known side effects of Cipro. And weird neurological stuff sometimes happens and lasts and lasts and lasts. It's hard to treat. Thanks for your call, Maddie. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our Intelligent Medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the Intelligent Medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. A shout out to our new affiliate in Goodland, Kansas. The program will now be heard out there from 7 to 9 p.m. Mountain Time. So look forward to a new set of listeners out there in, Western Kansas, Mountain Time. Are you ready for some football? Yeah, we got hours and hours of championship football this weekend as the AFL and NFL conference contenders clash. And many of them, according to research, this is actually something I didn't know, but it turns out that according to a survey, 75% of NFL teams use pregame intravenous hydration. Okay? So they get an IV before the game, usually you know, at least an hour and a half before the game, because I can't see it's a good idea to get, you know, get an IV and then go right out on the field, because you're going to have to take a lot of bathroom breaks. They surveyed all 32 NFL teams. The head athletic trainers reported that 75% of the teams use pregame hyperhydration. And usually, it's not all the players, but usually an average of about seven players had fluids per team. So this is a situation very familiar to me, because I, you know, do intravenous treatments for our patients. And the rationale for that is that, you know, often they have medical conditions. Maybe they're coming down with a flu, they have a chronic infection, they may have a history of chronic hepatitis C, or we do chelation therapy for people with cardiovascular disease, and we also do intravenous treatments for very debilitated patients. So patients who can't, you know, swallow supplements because they're too sick. They may have ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, and their ability to absorb supplements is limited. But healthy football players, what's up with that? Well, the most common reason for using the fluids was to prevent cramps. And usually this is at the instigation of the players. Now, many of the players were schooled in the use of IV hydration in college, because many college programs use this technique under the supervision of doctors, hopefully. And even some high school teams use intravenous fluids. And it's legal. It's just not legal in Olympic competition. You won't see this in Korea for the Winter Olympics, although goodness knows that for some of the endurance events, athletes might be tempted to take intravenous hydration. But it turns out that research shows that there's very, very little rationale for it. It's sort of a superstition that this is going to enhance performance. And unless it's a very, very hot day, you know, it's like a 100-degree day, and certainly not this time of year, it's not going to make a difference. Similar to the oxygen use by many athletes on the sidelines. Oxygen maybe in Denver or Mexico City at altitude, but it's more of a placebo kind of thing. And is just something that players want, but doesn't really provide them with a performance edge or even reduce the risk of cramps, according to research. An interesting holdover from the past. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You can call us 877-726-8255 for Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and you can call us 877-726-8255. Become a part of the show with your question about medicine, health, whatever. Comments are welcome. 877-726-TALK. And we also want to extend a welcome to Health IQ, a new sponsor. And it's a great idea. It's an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like Intelligent Medicine listeners, who are runners, cyclists, weightlifters, healthy eaters, people who take vitamins, get lower rates on their life insurance. Health IQ believes that the best way to improve the health of the world is to celebrate the health-conscious rather than penalizing those who are not. So go to healthiq.com/Hoffman to see if you qualify. That's healthiq.com/Hoffman. Great deals on insurance if you adhere to a healthy lifestyle. Makes sense. All right, 877-726-8255. Mediterranean diet. A couple of studies on Mediterranean diet. And I feel like I was in the vanguard of this, because back in the 80s, I put together something called the Salad and Salmon Diet, which is a diet that is akin to the Mediterranean diet. The term Mediterranean diet hadn't yet been coined yet. It sort of came into prominence later in the mid-90s. And lots of research now on the Mediterranean diet, which according to the study, what's the criterion for the Mediterranean diet? Well, you don't just go to the Mediterranean and see what people eat, because a lot of people in the Mediterranean are eating junk food now because of just the expansion of availability of fast food and refined products. In this study, they compare the Western pattern diet, which includes consumption of large amounts of fatty dairy products, refined grains, flours, processed meat, like salami, bologna, hot dogs, caloric beverages, such as soda, sweets, fast food, and sauces. By the way, caloric beverages also includes juices, which a lot of people maybe think healthier, but deliver a lot of sugar. Then there was the prudent diet. And that's what you see if you go to the American Heart Association. Follow a prudent diet. Low-fat dairy products, whole grains, fruits and vegetables, and juices. And then the third diet was the Mediterranean pattern. High consumption of fish, boiled potatoes, fruits, vegetables, legumes, and olive oil. Lots of olive oil. And low consumption of juices. And, of course, probably some nuts thrown in there, maybe some red wine. And what they found was a lower incidence of aggressive prostate cancer among the consumers of the Mediterranean diet. And they look for high adherence to the Mediterranean diet pattern, not just dabbling with Mediterranean diet, but the ones who most stuck most closely to the Mediterranean diet had better Gleason scores. Gleason scores are a measure of the severity of prostate cancer when it occurs. So diet, certainly if you have prostate cancer, totally behooves you to get on a clean eating pattern, because you will absolutely improve your chances of avoiding a recurrence and surviving. And I have many patients I'm working with now who have had prostate cancer, in some cases initially very aggressive prostate cancer, and they're doing great with the right supplements and the right diet, and they're very carefully adhering to a healthy lifestyle. Exercise, too, makes a difference. So here's another one. Mediterranean diet may help protect older adults from becoming frail. Frailty, or sometimes as it's referred to medically, sarcopenia, is a big deal as people age. They just become sort of, vulnerable. And they lose weight, they lose muscle mass, they become less steady on their feet. And it turns out that it's not just about exercise. Nutrition is thought to play a crucial role in developing frailty. And so they did a big study. Their analysis included 5,789 people in four studies in France, Spain, Italy, and China. And what they found was that adherence to a Mediterranean diet pattern helped older individuals maintain muscle strength, activity, weight, and energy levels. So, so much about the messaging effects of diet on the body. It's not just calories in, calories out, fulfilling a caloric need. It's the message that certain healthy foods impart to your immune system, to your endocrine system, to your metabolism, to your digestion, to your microbiome. All these are important ways that diet can have an impact on overall health. All right. Many pregnant women, suffer from pain. Back pain certainly is common in pregnancy. And they get sick. Flu or something like that. And so they reach for the Tylenol. And, what's the big whoop? It's not a prescription medication. It's available everywhere. Take a couple of Tylenol, feel better. And so far, to date, it's not been suggested that Tylenol has any negative impact on the outcome of pregnancy. Well, here's the first study that speaks to that. From Mount Sinai Hospital here in New York, common pain reliever used during pregnancy linked to language delay in girls. Why this study picked this up in the female offspring of women who took Tylenol is not clear, but we do know that young girls they tend to be much, if you've got a toddler, a two-year-old toddler, she's talking a mile a minute. And the boys, they're a little backwards when it comes to verbal expression. Take a little longer to develop in that way. So in the first study of its kind, researchers found an elevated rate of language delay in girls at 30 months old born to mothers who used Tylenol during pregnancy, but for some reason not in boys. Pretty common, the use of Tylenol. It was used by 59% of the women in early pregnancy in the study. What they found was there was an elevated rate of language delay in girls at 30 months old, and the researchers asked participants to report the number of Tylenol tablets they had taken between conception and enrollment in the study. And what they found was that high use versus no use analysis caused a higher risk of this language delay. Now, language delay was seen in 10% of all the children in the study, with greater delays in boys than girls overall. That's no surprise. But girls born to mothers with higher exposure, those who took Tylenol more than six times, just six times, in early pregnancy, were nearly six times more likely to have language delay than girls born to mothers who did not take Tylenol. So, you know, something that once considered innocuous, and many pregnant women, you know, take it casually because there's no warning, could have potential consequences in terms of child's intellectual development. And that is indeed a concern. And also, this is actually in the wake of another study. You know, you see these studies in isolation. They report, okay, language delay, okay, fine. And then they don't mention that women who consume Tylenol during pregnancy also have a higher risk of giving birth to offspring with autism, okay, which is a profound form of language delay. That's language delay on steroids. And so perhaps these two phenomena are not isolated observations, but linked to the, you know, it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature, especially when you're pregnant. I have a very, very high threshold for giving medication to my pregnant patients and urge them to seek natural alternatives and even to be very careful and selective about the supplements that they take, because certain herbs that ordinarily you could take with impunity, maybe, you know, it's a caution flag, a yellow flag on the use of powerful herbal concentrates, mega vitamins, and the like. Why go there if it's not absolutely necessary? All right, our number 877-726-8255. And we've been talking early this year about ways to help you lose weight. We talked about time-restricted fasting, or TRF, which means confine your eating to a launch window of, say, between 10 o'clock and 6 o'clock every day. So don't eat until a little later. Delay your breakfast. And then have an early dinner and then, in effect, fast for 16 hours or so. Here's another one. Spending an extra 90 minutes in bed may help you lose weight, according to scientists from King's College in London. And this is a well-known phenomenon. People who sleep longer are less likely to go after sugary treats or reach for comfort food rich in carbohydrates and fat. Lack of sleep is certainly a risk factor for obesity because it increases appetite in so many different ways. A new study showed that by getting more sleep, people actually naturally choose healthier foods within a week, eating on average 10 grams less sugar each day. So they did the study with 21 volunteers who slept for less than the recommended 7 hours a night. And then they switched the deal on them. They were then asked to add 90 minutes to their daily sleep patterns over another 7-day study period. And according to the food diaries they kept, they were naturally eating less sugar and carbs than at the start. They looked at a control group whose sleep did not improve, and there was no corresponding improvement. So the researchers say this. Our results also suggest that increasing time in bed for an hour or so longer may lead to healthier food choices. This further strengthens the link between short sleep and poor quality diets that has already been observed by previous studies. And it's a two-way street, because if your diet's poor, it'll affect your sleep quality. You're full of junk, sugar, ups and downs of blood sugar, allergic problems, inflammation, lack of critical nutrients can cause sleep problems. But conversely, if you improve your sleep, you'll naturally gravitate towards healthier food. So it's all part of the picture. Our number, 877-726-8255. We'll take some of your phone calls in just a moment. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating this certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural, healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and we're taking your phone calls, 877-26-8255. We've got a call from Peggy in Princeton, New Jersey. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Can you talk to me a little bit about vertigo? Do you believe that vertigo is caused by crystals in the ear? And also, the treatment that they give you, like, God, manipulating your head makes you feel worse. Yeah. Are you a believer of this, or can you talk to me about this?
It's interesting. There is one, I mean, there are many causes, potential causes of vertigo, among which are the presence of crystals in the labyrinths, which are the little cochlear channels, or they're part of the vestibular apparatus in the ear, which is... It has what's called endolymph in it, which is fluid, and little cilia that sense the changes in the movement of the fluid. And sometimes little tiny crystals can develop as you age, and these little crystals create, I guess, a little like a hailstorm inside the labyrinths, and then you get sensations of vertigo. And so there is this thing in ear, nose, and throat medicine called the Epley maneuver, which is it's almost like a chiropractic adjustment of your head, where you kind of rapidly switch position. And it's supposed to dislodge the crystals, move them in a certain way that relieves the problem. And, you know, there are certain adherents to that. People who find it helpful. I don't know that it's a definitive answer for a high percentage of people with vertigo, because the causes of vertigo are the multitude of causes. You know, just as your eyesight fails and your hearing fails and, you know, and many of your faculties fail, your senses fail, your balance may get out of kilter as you get older. And some of that has to do with the inner ear, which is where, you know, it's the sensory organ, but some of it may have to do with the brain. You know, there's part of the brain called the cerebellum that's associated with the balance. And that can degenerate and deteriorate. You can have blood pressure issues, sometimes worsened by blood pressure medications that can cause you to feel weak and woozy. Not usually the room spinning sensation, but, you know, so, it turns out that, the world's expert on vertigo is named Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And I'm not referring to myself in third person. You know, that would be a sign of insanity, right? You know, it's actually a colleague of mine here in New York City. Who I met early in my training. I ran into him and I said, "Oh, you're Dr. Ronald Hoffman." And he said, "Yes, I'm." And he looked at my name badge. I was a medical intern at the time. And he said, "Oh my goodness, you're Dr. Ronald Hoffman too." And I said, "This may create some confusion in the future because, you know, sometimes I get phone calls from his patients. He gets phone calls from mine. We cross wires." But he is an ear, nose, and throat doctor who is quite an expert in the treatment, the diagnosis and treatment of vertigo. He's actually one of the developers of something called vestibular rehabilitation, which is kind of physical therapy, which kind of reacquaints people with movement that, you know, at first is uncomfortable. But gradually they get used to it, and they tend to extinguish their vertigo through this vestibular rehab. So you're a vertigo sufferer, I take it?
Yes.
Yeah. And I
went the other day for the first time.
Yeah.
And, like, he tried to put my head back, and I went, oh, God.
Yeah. It's a very uncomfortable sensation. And for some people, it doesn't work at all. It can make things worse. But, you know, you're going to have a workup. You're going to have, like, tests. You're going to have an MRI. You're going to have tests that measure, you know, that assess your reaction to position change. There's even something called, you know, they do something like a sort of an EMG of your vestibular nerves. They have a sophisticated way of testing and kind of pinning down what the source of the problem is. But it remains elusive. It's a tough problem to deal with.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a holistic component. You know, you may be somebody who's got mitral valve prolapse, low blood pressure, autonomic instability. And sometimes, you know, taking certain supplements can have a positive impact on that. You know, speaking of the ear, I wrote an article, and it could be relevant because there's a close relationship between tinnitus and vertigo because it's part of the inner ear apparatus. And I wrote an article for our newsletter this week. If you're a subscriber, you would have received it already. It's already posted at drhoffman.com. It's 11 things you may consider to help you with tinnitus. And, you know, some of tinnitus is in the ear, but some of it's in the brain. And so, you know, there are a variety of ways to deal with it. You know, certainly vertigo can also be related to diet in some ways. There can be food intolerances that cause water retention or swelling in the ear. That's Meniere syndrome. Also, it's been found that in tinnitus, at least, a high percentage of people are insulin resistant. They're getting too much in the way of refined carbohydrates and sugar. And by reducing that, some people obtain relief. So, yeah, there could be a diet component. And the Epley maneuver is worth trying. But it's at the risk of sometimes making you feel more dizzy. You know, it's one of those things where it's a little like hitting a Swiss watch with a hammer. It might help, and it might not. Results may vary. So thanks for your call. All the best to you. It's a challenging condition, and I hope you obtain relief. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Okay, great hour, great phone calls. We got some more lined up, and you can call us at 877-726-8255. In the next hour, we're going to talk about how middle age is not too late to get off the couch.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.